So I like to include also, and it's not only just weights versus cardio, there's also we have to vary the intensity of our movement. So we want to have a lot of fast, intense movements as well, which is what I think most of the population kind of goes for because they're the most efficient. We get a lot of movement within a short period of time, but then we're ignoring all these slow and gentle movements, whereas something like a yoga or like a yin or a restorative style yoga or even within yoga itself, there's like a yin and a yang. You have a balance of both the slow and the fast. And I think that is really important. And that's something that we're missing. We're not slowing down enough.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So let's be super honest. Addressing your business, your body, your balance, your inner badass, none of these things are possible if you are in a state of chronic pain. When that headache or that backache or whatever it happens to be emerges, often out of nowhere, everything else is moved to the side. Talking about physical manifestations of pain, chronic pain, and preventing these elements are not something that we have tackled with tremendous frequency on the podcast, but it's an issue that I hear from all of you about in a really consistent manner. My guest today, Dr. Dana Patel, is a chiropractor and an expert in preventing chronic pain. She works with women in particular, high-performing women, in helping them address all of the lifestyle pieces that are either perpetuating the pain that they are feeling, or she works with those women to prevent the pain from manifesting in the first place. And I shared with Dana during this interview that literally it was like the day I turned 40, I could feel little elements of pain and stiffness emerging in my body. I was so attuned to the fact that preventing this and addressing my posture and addressing the mindset and maintaining my mobility were going to be priorities for myself and my health moving forward. Dana puts context around that sentiment. She gives structure to those feelings and she breaks down this notion of prevention and addressing chronic pain in a really comprehensive and amazing manner. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to the brilliant Dr. Dana Patel. Dr. Dana Patel, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Megan.
Well, this isn't a conversation today that I frankly haven't had very often on the podcast. And we're going to talk about chronic pain. And before people are like, chronic pain, I don't have chronic pain. I don't need to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in the context of how to prevent it. In particular, I want to get into chronic back pain. And one of the things that I think has been tremendously obvious to all of us over the last few months is that we are doing more sitting than ever before. We are sitting at our computer more than ever before. We are not up and moving around in office. It is like when I looked at my stats on my health watch or on my health app on my phone, it's like it compared where I'm at this time this year to where I was at this time last year. I'm sitting 33% more. It was astonishing to me when I looked at it. So Dana, I'm really excited to get into this conversation with you today, in particular because you focus on chronic pain and chronic pain prevention for high-performing women. So it's such a perfect partnership. Dana, can you share with everyone a little bit about your background and your particular clinical passions?
Absolutely. So I'm a chiropractor and I've been practicing for about 5.5 years now. And I see quite a variety of people in my clinic, but most of the people who I see are people who are working the 9-to-5 jobs or they're sitting for long periods of time. And a lot of their chronic pain conditions come from that sitting and we're just not moving enough. So I like to take a holistic approach when it comes to treatment because it's not only about our body and our physical movement, I think we also need to address things like nutrition. A lot of people are busy, they're not really eating well, or they're eating a lot of convenience, quick meals, and they might not be getting the right foods in, or they might be doing a lot of the fast foods or the even just more processed foods in general, just to get something in quick, or we're not mindfully eating. And that's the other thing, slowing down a little bit. And then I also like to address the lifestyle pieces as well. So we're talking about sleep and mindset and stress and posture and even supplements sometimes, because I think that we need to address all of these things to have success when it comes to reducing pain or even preventing pain. And this is one of my passions. I like how we function as a body. So it's we have to treat the entire body. And I find that a lot of the chronic pain approaches out there are very specific to either just physical pain or just movement. And we kind of ignore all the other things. So my passion is to get all of these pieces in together to treat people as a whole. And I guess just close those gaps between treatment.
And I want to go back a little bit, because I've definitely seen chiropractors who will address health in this holistic manner. I also know that there is a cohort of practicing chiros, perhaps it's a generational piece. So I'm just asking this from a place of ignorance, where it was very much focused on the physical management of the pain or of the problem. And so, you know, how much of this is you got out of schooling and you're like, oh my gosh, like the tools I had were great, but I needed to add to them? Or was there an evolution in terms of the education that you received, like this much more holistic approach to managing chronic pain? When did that start for you?
So we did learn quite a bit of this stuff in school, but a lot of it was basic and it wasn't enough. And I found that this happened through my own chronic pain story. So I had chronic pain probably about this time I started chiropractic college. So all through school and even right after I graduated, I'd had experience with being treated by chiropractors all through school and even afterwards, and having all of that physical treatment, but it wasn't enough for me. And I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere with the pain. And I think a lot of that also was because it was kind of mismanaged at the beginning. And this is what I see with a lot of women. And it might be our own egos kind of getting in the way, like we're fine, it's acute pain, it's just going to go away on its own. And sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And the pain is not always correlated to injury. So sometimes there's not even an actual injury to start. So we don't even realize that we're in this situation to begin with. But that was kind of how I started on the journey of finding other ways to help relieve my own pain, because I found that physical was not enough. And then even treating patients over my 5 years, it was seeing patients come in maybe in the first year, and they would come in all the time. They would come in consistently. They were doing all of the things that we were taught. They were doing their movement. They were doing their exercises. They were getting adjusted. They were trying to drink enough water. They were trying to eat food, but then they didn't really have any, they weren't being addressed in terms of the stress and the sleep and all of those other things that also are so important when it comes to chronic pain management. And I think because I was also feeling so much pain myself and seeing all of these women who were not addressing all of those pieces, or sometimes just ignoring it and not really realizing that stress and sleep and mindset are actually really big contributors to pain and keeping us in pain. And it was through my own journey that I found things like mindfulness and meditation and gratitude, and all of those things were actually really helpful for me. And I started bringing that into my practice. And that's when I started seeing a lot more improvements and long-term results. So that was how I started doing all of this.
So you said something there right at the very beginning, and I want to get into those other elements, the stress, the sleep, the mindset. But I want to back up because you said one thing just in passing. You're like, sometimes chronic pain will manifest without an initial injury. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, they dismiss the pain. They're like, oh, it's going to go away because there wasn't an event that triggered it. Can you just talk a little bit about, on a mechanistic level, and then we'll probably get into a mindset level, why we would even experience chronic pain without there being an injury to trigger its onset?
Yeah. So sometimes there's not like a physical fall or an accident or something where we kind of take that and relate it to our pain, but it's something that manifests over a long amount of time. So it can be years in the making. And this is where if we're really in tune with our bodies, we can kind of pick up on the signals here. We have an ache here and there, we're sitting for long periods of time and we start feeling some pain, but then we move and it goes away. And those are some of the first signs and symptoms that you realize that something might be going on. But sometimes it's because we're not addressing things like our core strength, or we're not getting the full range of motion in our joints. And then because there's not enough movement, we're not getting that full range of motion, our joints kind of get stuck. And then you start getting things like muscle imbalances. You start getting things like weakness in muscles because they're not being used to their full extent, or you get overuse and you don't start to feel those things. They don't actually come up as pain until kind of years later. So we're doing these repetitive motions, kind of the same activities all the time. And that in itself is the injury, but we don't realize it because it's not like we just got hit by something or we fell and actually injured ourselves. So injury, but it's not in the same sense as if we hurt ourselves.
It's like a repetitive strain, it's like micro damage is almost what it feels like.
Exactly. And then that can lead to things like we start building up inflammation in the areas, and some of that inflammation can stay for long periods of time if it's not addressed with all of those pieces, like the movement and the nutrition and stress and posture and all of those things. And it keeps sending these pain signals to our brain. And that's how it becomes chronic.
And so where does the stress, the sleep, the mindset piece fit into all of that? Because, I mean, the thing that's becoming rapidly apparent in this conversation is, you know, it's not a matter of going in and just doing your physio or just having an adjustment, that there is this really holistic approach and all of these little inputs of information that have to happen to start to reduce that pain. When does the evaluation and the addressing of stress, sleep, mindset, those other elements, when does that come into play when you're working with someone?
I like to address them right from the beginning because a lot of these pieces are foundational, and it's not only when it comes to pain. I think this happens with so many different conditions. If we don't address all of these pieces, we don't really have the framework at the beginning to build off of and maybe do more advanced things when it comes to our health. So I like to address these kinds of things at the beginning because this is actually just getting into the very basics, and we can always optimize. We can always make our health even better as we go. But I like to address these right from the beginning. If you're not sleeping well, you're going to wake up, but you're going to feel like you're in pain, which means you might not want to do any movement, and then you're not moving. So then you're in even more pain, and it kind of becomes this endless cycle, and everything you do just kind of makes the pain worse, and nothing's making it better because we're so afraid also of moving because of all of these things and just having that pain always there.
Yeah. And I would see this clinically as well. And I would say to my patients, you know, part of what we're going to do, the treatment piece, and then we're going to do the lifestyle piece, because you're going to be more successful in moving towards the outcome you're after if we can manage and up the ante on your physiological resistance. And your body is going to listen better to the information that we are inputting if it is rested, if it is well nourished, if it is cared for. Otherwise, it's managing, you know, way more stresses than it needs to. So I would always explain it that it turns the volume down of all the things that the body's trying to manage on a given day.
Absolutely. And all of these things also cause more stress, like whether it's a physical stress or if it's like a mental stress, or in all of those things lead to more inflammation, which means your nerves are sending more pain signals to the brain. And even if you don't necessarily do anything to make your pain worse, you're still building up that signal to the brain, and it becomes more sensitive over time. And you can get into something called central sensitization, where it actually starts causing these pain signals to be more amplified. So you're not even increasing the inflammation necessarily, but now the signal itself is just amplified and you just feel more pain, and it becomes this endless cycle.
Yeah. And that I feel like, you know, I will speak to this from a personal perspective. So, I mean, I've got my own aches and pains and things I'm aware of, but my husband has been managing chronic pain with 3 herniated discs in his back for the last 18 months. And what's really interesting is watching all of these, the things you're talking about right now, just completely manifest in real time. If he has a bad sleep, his pain is off the charts worse. If he's having a bad day, his pain is worse. And then his pain being worse, like, reinforces all these pieces. So it's all of these other elements. I just see this in such real time as he's managing his things over and over again. And one thing I would love to ask about, because there are, I mean, for him, there is a tangible injury that we can see. We can see it on an MRI. But the other piece that, you know, I've certainly manifested and been able to see in my own life is where full on a psychological state is able to manifest physical pain in the body. Can you just speak to that a little bit, Dana, in terms of what you've seen in your practice, where, again, it's back to this idea of there's not necessarily an injury, and certainly there might be a movement pattern, but I feel strongly that psychology and mindset also has the capacity to create very real pain in people's physical bodies. Can you speak to that as someone who manages chronic pain?
Yeah, and I see this all the time. And I think the longer that we've been in chronic pain, the worse that kind of gets, because it's a lot of, when we think about something, we feel it more. And it's like, if I told you not to think about something, you would start thinking about it. If I say, like, don't think about a pink elephant, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? A pink elephant.
I was thinking about the pink elephant even before you said pink elephant.
So it's the same kind of thing when it comes to pain. Like, we're amplifying things because we're noticing it, we're paying attention to it more. So sometimes even things like distractions might be helpful to just ignore the pain a little bit and maybe just have it calm down to the point where you feel like you're able to move and you feel like you can do some of the other things that help long term, but may not necessarily give you that instant relief. But I think that it's such a mindset thing. Like, we just think about something and that's what we feel. So if we're stuck in a negative mindset and that's all we're thinking about, those are the results that we're going to get. So if we keep thinking about the pain, we're just going to feel more pain.
What role does movement have to play in all of this? I mean, I understand from a clinical perspective, in a Chinese medicine philosophy, we would talk about lack of movement facilitates stagnation in the body. It drives inflammation. It creates rigidity. Like, all of those things from that philosophical perspective. But as someone who focuses in the treatment of chronic pain, can you speak to the role of movement? And then we're going to get into specific types.
Yeah, so there is movement in general for the body, like you said, to keep things moving, to keep our lymph moving, to keep our circulation moving. And that can help with reducing inflammation if there's any present in the area that we're feeling pain. It can also help to keep our muscles active, to make sure that we're strengthening those muscles to support our joints. And then you also want to have movement within the context of the actual joint itself. So the joint needs to be able to move in all ranges, like I mentioned before. And a lot of what we do, a lot of our daily activities, we're standing upright or we're sitting, and we're not doing anything where we're like lying on the ground, or we're not face down for long periods of time. So we have these stressors of gravity in one direction, and our joints move in only that, in those directions. So when it comes to movement, we have to address both the joints and the muscles. And I think a lot of what gets ignored is the actual joints themselves. So I like to do a lot of mobility exercises where we're actually addressing movement within the joints themselves, when we don't have enough movement within, let's say, a joint capsule, you start getting some adhesions, you start getting things that like maybe like scar tissue building up, and it prevents more movement. So then you start getting that stiffness and it starts to feel tight. But we actually have to increase that movement so that we have also proper flow of the liquids that are in our joint capsule. We need to have that cushioning in between the joints so we're not going bone on bone. And that joint fluid actually needs movement, like physical movement. We actually have to move our bodies for it to move in and out of that joint capsule. So we have to be able to get water and things, nutrients in and out of those joint capsules. And we can't do that unless we're moving our joints in full range of motion. And it also ends up causing stress on other joints, like above and below where the joints might be feeling kind of stuck. So this also leads to things like more stiffness. It can lead to more inflammation. It can lead to just feeling like the need to compensate. We have to use other parts of our body even more to be able to function better. And I think we need to cover movement in all different aspects and not just walking or not just cardio or something like that, or not just physical body weight exercises. We also have to address the movement within the joints themselves.
When we hear people say this all the time, right? They're like, I'm moving. I walk every day, or I'm always on the stairs, or I do feel like when people are talking about movement, there is this, rather than saying but the movement version of that is, well, I always. And for me, the part of the trigger on that, especially in the context of what you just said, is we are in the habit of having consistent movement patterns, but not diversifying those movement patterns. And I think it's great if someone is walking every day, but the body gets really used to walking. I think it's great if you are lifting weights every day, but if you're lifting the same weights, doing the same movement patterns, then we're not adding this variability. Can you speak to this idea, if we get more granular on the exercise piece, how we should be putting that program together to maximize that mobility? Is it weights versus cardio? Is one better than the other? Is it a variety? Like, what's your take on this, Dana?
I love having variety in all forms of movement. So I like having some kind of like weight exercise, whether that's body weight exercises, whether that's physical weights, whether it's machine weights, or even resistance type of exercises. And I like having a little bit of cardio as well to get the blood flow and everything moving. But I think we need to have a lot more specific exercises. We need to address like core strength. We need to address the mobility in our joints. And I think that it's also because the type of muscle fibers that we have ones that are good for endurance and for, I guess, a long-term movements. And then there's some that are a lot faster and more intense. So that's like, it's kind of like a difference between running a marathon versus a sprint. There are actual different muscle fibers that fire when we're doing those different types of exercises. So we can't only train one, we have to train both. So I like to include also, and it's not only just weights versus cardio, there's also, we have to vary the intensity of our movement. So we want to have a lot of fast, intense movements as well, which is what I think most of the population kind of goes for, because they're the most efficient. We get a lot of movement within a short period of time, but then we're ignoring all these slow and gentle movements, where something like a yoga or like a yin or restorative style yoga, or even within yoga itself, there's like a yin and a yang. You have a balance of both the slow and the fast. And I think that is really important. And that's something that we're missing. We're not slowing down enough. And I think that it's really important when it comes to a variety of exercises.
I love that you mentioned this yin and yang piece, because I'd have this conversation with my patients where they'd come in. They're like, listen, I move a lot. I do like an intense spin class every day, or like Monday to Friday. And I was like, oh, great. Do you do any yoga? And they just give you this look. They're like, oh no, I'm not a yoga person. You know, my I can't slow my mind down. I'm just not one of those people. And then I've got my yoga people who are like, oh no, I do yoga every day. And I'm like, have you ever done like a spin class or cardio? And they're like, oh, no. Like I only do yoga. And so I would start to say to my patients, listen, if you are this person who's like, I only do one and it's on that yin side, I want you to just like punctuate it with some yang activity in, assuming there's no other injuries, in terms of your workouts. But conversely, if all you do are spin classes or all you do are CrossFit, then we really need to balance that out. So I love that you took that perspective, because it's one that I've talked about for a long time with my patients.
Yeah, and I see this a lot myself too. And I think one of the reasons why people, especially the people who like the intense workouts and they don't like the slow ones, is because they don't feel like they're getting a workout. And this is one thing that I know it's hard, because you want to feel like you had a sweaty workout, like an intense, powerful workout. But it's not always about that. And that's the thing that we ignore. And that's, I think, what's most important when it comes to our joints, is we don't want fast movements when it comes to joints. We want to slowly move our joints and within a controlled manner, kind of, which is what you can do when it comes to something like yoga.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I'm one of those people, right? I'm like, I'm going to get on my Peloton, I'm going to do a Tabata class. I'm just like sweaty and I feel it. And I've had to start to say to myself, am I doing this because my psychology needs this workout? Or am I doing it because my physiology needs this workout? And if it's like my physiology needs it, well, then like, what else do I need to do here? So if I get my Tabata in, like, am I then doing half an hour of yoga or mobility or some other element that I know I need? Because it's literally like I turned 40 and my body's like, oh, FYI, the most important thing you can do for me is mobility work. Because I could start to feel it. I could start to feel that stiffness. It's like I woke up on the next day and I was like, oh, I feel stiffer. And I've said this to my husband a few times. I was like, I feel like moving forward, maintaining muscle mass and committing to mobility is the most important thing that I can do moving forward. That wasn't a question. It was just kind of an observation. To that end.
I agree. And I think.
No, go ahead, Dana. Sorry.
I think something else that's also really important when it comes to those slow workouts, and even when it comes to like maybe a stretching or a cooling down, which a lot of people skip, and I think it's really important, is we can focus on our breath work during that time. It doesn't necessarily need to be the movement in and of itself, but I think just slowing down and having some time to work on our breath and deep belly breathing, that's the most important part of our breath work. And the diaphragm itself is a core muscle. And a lot of people don't know this, but we need to be able to breathe into our belly and work our core through the inside.
Yeah, I think that's really, as soon as you say your breath can help your core, I think you happen to capture people's attention there. Can we just transition? I want to talk about breath, but I also want to address posture, especially from someone who's got an area of expertise around this piece. What role does posture training have in offsetting, preventing, mitigating chronic pain, especially when we're sitting all the time at our desks?
So I'm going to let you in on a little secret, but posture is not as important as people think. And I think the most important thing when it comes to posture is not necessarily that we need to have good posture, but it can give us cues and let us know that maybe something is wrong and maybe something needs to be focused on. So if we can't sit up straight or if we can't sit comfortably, that could be an indication that maybe we need to work on some of our core strength or work on something to help keep us upright and help keep us comfortable in our seats. But at the same time, you also want to address the ability to sit up right, because that, again, it's going to help with so many other things, like be able to breathe properly while you're sitting. But I think the thing that is most important is also we sit for too long, and it's not even necessarily our posture. It's just because we're in the chair for a really long time and we want to be able to move. And I would say at least 15 to 20 minutes is all we should be sitting for. And I know that's really difficult when it comes to people who are high performing and need to be on their computer for long periods of time. But that is really the key to better posture. It's actually just getting some movement in. It's when we become stagnant and when we sit for long periods of time that our muscles kind of tense up and tighten up in those positions, and then standing up or moving out of that position starts to become painful because our body is now tightened in this flexed position of us sitting or maybe slouching and leaning forward. And there is a little bit to say that posture can make pain worse. It doesn't necessarily cause pain in and of itself, but you are increasing the pressure on the joints. Like say you're leaning forward, you have your head in front of you, if you're looking down, you are not stacked. So your ears are not aligned with your shoulders, which are not aligned with the hips. Now you're putting all this pressure on the joints in the back of the neck. So if you already have something that's going on, maybe you have neck pain, maybe you have back pain, you've now increased that pressure and those muscles have to work a lot harder. So now you're just getting just a lot more pain because it's just you're overworking something that's already overworked, or it could just be weak from before.
Stand up desks. Good idea. Yeah. Bad idea. Where are you at on that?
I love them. I think it's a good variety to have both like sitting and standing desks because some people just need to rest once in a while, but I absolutely love standing desks.
And what about all the gadgets that I can connect to the back of my head and the back of my arms and like random places to make sure that my posture is in place? Have you seen anything like that that you think is a cool idea?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. And I think a lot of them are really gimmicky. Like they're good for giving your body cues. So if you are leaning forward and you don't realize it, it might be a good thing to keep you more aware. But if you have that awareness already, then you don't necessarily need them. And a quick trick that I like to use is to actually place a ball behind your back and against the chair. And once it moves or once it falls, that's how you know that you're slouching.
It's funny you say that because I do that, but mostly because my ball also has spikes on it and I can stick it into all of these knots on my back. But I have been noticing the falling piece. Like it, I was like, oh, this is a great tool for posture, especially when I'm slouched over my desk. I love it. And it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg in order to have access to good posture. Before we jump into the rapid fire questions, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Fullscript. Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products, has features like refill reminders and auto reorder, and even sends medically reviewed wellness content to patients on your behalf. I've been using Fullscript in my practice for years, so I have firsthand knowledge of the impact it can have on your patients and your business. First of all, it's super simple to use and loaded with features. Features like EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel, well, integrated. It incorporates itself into your way of working, with your approach to wellness, even as that evolves, and most importantly, with your patients' day-to-day lives. As someone wanting to address patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. And if you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Tell them I sent you. A great suggestion and probably a perfect place, Dana, to make a transition in our interview, because I feel like we could go on all day long about these chronic pain pieces. And so we're going to give people some really great resources related to that. But I want to give people an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. And so I call this portion of our interview our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe we have them in how we live our life as well. So I've got some rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, first one. What's the most impactful book you have read during the pandemic?
Oh, that's a hard question because I've read a few, but I think I'm going to say anything by Brené Brown.
It's kind of a good time for Brené Brown energy. I like it. What's the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your own health?
I'm going to say my mobility exercises.
Time out. What do your mobility exercises look like?
It varies on a day-to-day basis, but I really love doing the cat-cow exercise. That one's just a good full spinal mobility exercise. So that's my go-to.
Okay, fair. I like it. What's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I don't know.
You can come back to it. What do you do for fun or play?
I like to do yoga and I like to bake.
What do you like to bake?
My go-to is probably brownies, but I like to do also like a chickpea blondie where it's basically really healthy for you, but it tastes so good.
Okay, I'm going to keep this in mind next time I see you. You're just going to get a little message from me. I remember you like to bake. I'm here to help you. And last question for you, Dana. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I really think we learn to become it, and it might be at a different point in everyone's lives, but I feel like there's always this incident that happens, or there's something that kind of pushes us into that direction.
Well, I love that you are on a mission. I think you are so emblematic of this idea that we can learn to become entrepreneurs when we have a really big mission in this world. And I know you've got some incredible resources for people. Where can we send our audience to learn more about what you are up to and to build off the conversation that we had today?
Absolutely. So you can follow me on Instagram. That's where I like to share a lot of my life and my content. And I also have a guide that I've created for my top 6 exercises for anyone who is experiencing back pain. So that's something you can download and try those out. And I also have a 5-day posture challenge for anyone who is struggling with their posture or maybe wants to prevent any kind of chronic pain in their future.
I am all in on that posture challenge. Dr. Dana Patel, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Megan.
The Entrepology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Entrepology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Entrepology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Entrepology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a 2-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there. Earlier in the episode, I mentioned Fullscript. Remember, Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional-grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. For example, when you write a prescription with Fullscript, it gets sent directly to patients via text or email. And when they place an order, their supplements get shipped right to their front door. It's incredibly convenient for everyone involved. The most incredible part, though, is that it's completely free and available to all kinds of practitioners. Actually, while we're on the subject, every account has the ability to adjust profit margins or even choose a no-profit option. This gives you complete control over balancing revenue with patient affordability. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Remember, tell them I sent you.